Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
All right, welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. I'm Doug Kazarian. We're taping this on Thursday, November 21st. And we have a couple things to get through. So obviously John Murray's going to join us. Obviously Mike Clay is going to join us. But first, Travis, we got to talk about this parlay stud who reached out over the weekend to me. His name is Kenton King. He is a loyal listener to the podcast and a teller at Circa Sportsbook in Las Vegas. Really cool backstory. Ben Fox did a nice job with his profile on, I believe, Monday on ESPN Chalk section. But quite the weekend. So I guess we'll start in chronological order. On Saturday, he hit a 9-team parlay, $20, paid $8,000. A half-point parlay card. So, solid work there. And also, UMass plus 40.5 was one of his nice wins just in there. Just gets home. And Iowa minus 3.5 was the big one because it was a half-point parlay card, and he got a missed extra point by the Gophers late for the game to land 4. So, nice job there. And then on Sunday, he tweets me. He's like, hey, so this is a 12-leg parlay. He's hit the first 9. All of them are college. And then he's got 3 legs left, and 2 in the morning games, 1 in the afternoon games. And basically, it was $20 to win $50,000. So you with me, Travis, on all this?
I'm just wishing he would have hit because see how how loyal he was to the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, asking my advice. And I said, you know what? Like, honestly, when you have 3 legs left in a parlay, your hands are really tied. There's, like, only so many permutations you can do. I mean, I guess you can make straight wagers against the first 2. And, you know, but you might go, you know, you can't tease them both. It's just really complicated. So he sweated out. Falcons plus 5.5, never in doubt. Jets plus 1.5, never really in doubt. So he's sitting there with the Raiders minus 10.5, and he did exactly what I would have said to do. He played the Bengals. I would have probably done more. I would have done like $10,000, but not sure how much, how liquid he is, just given that was the only thing left. And the line had moved to like 12.5, 13. So he had a middle, he had a pocket on top of his parlay. And on sure enough, the Raiders have the ball inside the 10-yard line up 4. Okay? Touchdown, PAT makes it 11 if they score. And, you know, obviously the Bengals wouldn't have gone for it on 4th down. If they're down 11, they probably would have kicked it, things like that. And the defense would have softened if you're up 2 scores, all that fun stuff. But maybe it's an overthrow and a pick and you, whatever. You want the touchdown regardless. He didn't get it. They had to settle for a field goal, so I was praying for a pick 6. But he did get the hedge. I think it was like $3,000, if I remember correctly. Nonetheless, Kenton, nice job. Thank you for tweeting, reaching out. Thank you for your loyal listenership. And congrats, man. Still a nice score of $8,000 and a little bit of fame as well with all the attention you got. So bragging rights and just keep at it, man, and keep at it to everyone else. Pretty fun, huh?
I would have been sweating so bad. Just like, do you watch the games? Do you try to go do something to occupy yourself at that point on Sunday?
I always watch. You have to, because you can play out at halftime, like, things like that.
But yeah, I would have been sweating it out and needing a few drinks.
That's a fact. That's a fact for sure. All right, my man. Busy card to get through. Bitter about some of the bonanza plays, but you know what? That's par for the course this season. Let's get to it.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Boy, it sure is, and look no further than both of our entries in the baby bankroll bonanza. The Bears disappointed yet again with their kicking game.
Yeah, I don't understand that. They attempted a 48-yard field goal in the first quarter, and I said to the person I was watching the game with, like, there's no chance this kid's going to make the field goal. What are they doing? Sure enough, what are they doing?
Pinheiro missed 2 field goals, and I'm not convinced Zuerlein's made field goal was actually good.
Yeah, you mentioned that on the college show yesterday. I might have to go back and look at that again. Usually when a team lines up to kick a field goal, I turn away in disgust. So I'm not really the person to tell you if he made it or not.
So that cost us each.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That Bears one, it really cost the book. It was just bad all around here.
Yeah, I had to do best bets and stuff for the show and also SportsCenter. I was like down between that or the under in the game. Of course, I went with that and lost. And you guys took it on the chin. I was a little worried that you guys might have to like call me for a loan to pay electricity this week or something.
We thought about it. Yeah, we thought about just closing the doors here. You know, no, seriously, it was a bad week. The NFL's funny. You can just look at the board every week and say, okay, if we don't get any one of these three games, we're going to get killed. And we didn't get any of them last week. We needed Detroit to cover against Dallas or Tampa to cover against the Bucks or the Eagles to cover against New England, of course. Or we could have been completely bailed out of the whole thing if Denver had beat Minnesota, because all the money line parlays had the Vikings in them, and it looked like Denver was going to win that game. That would have bailed us out of the whole thing, but we couldn't get that either. And then everything rolls to Sunday night and Monday night. I know I talk about that all the time, but it's true. So everything rolls to Sunday night to the Rams, the favorite on Sunday, and then they win, and it all rolls over to the Chiefs on Monday night. They win and cover as well. So we just couldn't win a game last week.
Well, I don't cry too many tears for you, but it is kind of funny when you see the board. And we talk about this every Thursday. You know which games, just what you had just alluded to, but also you kind of know the line moves. And when the lines start to move, that means you don't have the buyback, really, right? So you mentioned the Patriots-Eagles game. When you weren't getting the Eagles buyback from the wise guys and other money, you knew you were lopsided.
Yeah, and we couldn't really write a bet on New England, on Philadelphia without forcing it. And then if you saw the market on Monday night, the game, I think, closed 6 pretty much everywhere. We were at 6 all day Monday, and that was kind of an artificial number. That wasn't what we really thought the line should be. That was just we need somebody to bet the Chargers line because we were so hung out to dry on the Chiefs. So you see that sometimes where you can get good value on Monday night if the books got killed over the weekend, because they're going to inflate their number a little bit to try to get off some of their liability. I recommended to a friend of mine to take the Chargers plus 6. I did not get a thank you after the game from that individual. In fact, I got a strongly worded text message. But I still think that plus 6 was good advice there, because that number was just too high, and it wasn't a real point spread for what it should have been. It was just a response to how stuck all the books were on the Chiefs.
Surprising that Phillip Rivers almost threw as many interceptions as that he was getting points in the game.
Yeah, you know, the Chargers really blew it in the first half of that game. They had so many chances in the first half to score touchdowns, and they either came away with field goals or nothing. And I kind of knew what was going to happen there in the second half. They weren't cashing in those opportunities early in the game, and it cost them at the end of the game.
I thought I was going to have one of those huge middles. I didn't do it in the Bonanza, but I had -4. Really disappointed I didn't get the -3.5. That's really bad on my part. But I have a kind of a, thanks to you and some other people I talked to, I've kind of good knack for picking out these line moves. And so I actually played everything back +6. I had -4, +6, -110, both sides. It was just juicy. Hey, if the Chargers tie the game, maybe we go to overtime, and maybe I get an ending like I did with Seattle-Tampa when I sided that one. So that's the game. I mean, you're very rarely going to get that kind of point move, but if you can kind of sniff these out ahead of time, that's my favorite way to play to a lot of these games.
Well, I'll tell you right now, we're already seeing a bunch of liability building up on Baltimore in this week's Monday Night Football game. And if we have another Sunday of all chalk, look, I'm looking at the Saints, I'm looking at the Patriots, the Lions, a few other games on the board, the Steelers, excuse me, the Raiders. If we get all those favorites to come in on Sunday, expect that Baltimore line to go up before that game kicks on Monday.
It's funny. We do a segment called Beat the Market and Daily Wager yesterday. Mine was, if you like the Rams, wait. If you like the Ravens, bet it now. And it was like, I wasn't necessarily saying I'm trying to beat the market. I like the Baltimore. But I'm like, all my spidey sense is this line's going up. And I'm not sure it'll move more than a point, tops. I don't think it's going over 4, do you?
No, I don't think it's going to go over 4, but I can tell you that when we made this number on Sunday afternoon, evening, we initially put up Baltimore -2.5, -120. And we were all sitting back there watching the end of the afternoon games and the conversation with Jeff Sherman and Ed Sammons. I think I said something along the lines of, why don't we just go to 3 right now? and because we're going to...
Who's betting the Rams? Jeff, right. Who's going to bet the Rams?
Jeff said it first. He's like, you know what? We're going to get absolutely run over with money on Baltimore in this game. We're going to need the Rams for our lives. And I said, like, why don't we just go to three right now? And before I could even finish the sentence, Ed had already moved it to three. So we technically opened 2.5, 20, but we never actually wrote any money on it at that number. We went right to three, and we're already at 3.20. It's going to be just nothing but Baltimore money in that game.
Yeah, I mean, look what the Rams have done. Even in a win last week, they didn't look that impressive. And then also look what the Ravens have done of late. I mean, it's just been so impressive, and who doesn't want to bet on Lamar Jackson right now in terms of the public? So
the Ravens are absolutely crushing it. But keep an eye on the Rams, though. The Rams are, it looks like, or it's tracking as if they're going to get some key guys back for this game. Let's just say that. So the Rams, one of the reasons we liked the Bears so much this past Sunday night was the Rams had so many key guys out, especially on offense. Doesn't matter when the Bears can only muster 7 points, I guess.
Well, that's what Collinsworth talked about. He was so impressed with the blocking with all those backups. Yeah. And that was my whole thing. I thought Jared Goff would look that much more skittish, even more than he usually does, with all that pressure from the Bears' front. And let's face it, the Rams were pretty vanilla. I mean, they were running Gurley a lot, throwing to Gurley a lot. Cooks was out. I mean, they were just missing guys. I mean, Josh Reynolds was their top receiver. And, you know, it just wasn't meant to be with Pinheiro. And obviously the Rams would have played the game differently if Pinheiro had made his first half field goals. I get it. I'm not stupid enough to realize and live in a vacuum where it's like, oh, they would have won the game. You know, like, I get it that the Rams played based on the scoreboard. It helps to have two field goals and you're in the game, and then maybe Trubisky makes a play. I don't know, but it's frustrating.
I don't know if Trubisky makes a play, but I thought the play of the game was that the Rams fumbled like inside their own 20, and the ball's just laying there on the ground, and nobody from the Bears could pounce on it in time. It was 10-7 Rams at that time. Rams end up recovering their own fumble. They go down the field to score a touchdown, and they win the game 17-7. Chicago could have won the game outright if one of their guys had just picked up that fumble.
It is very, very frustrating.
It's a frustrating the life of a gambler. You know, life is tough, man. It's a lot of stress.
The NFL, especially. Okay, let's turn the page, my friend.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Okay, so let's just keep that in mind as we focus on these games now. Somewhat intriguing game. I say somewhat because it's still the AFC South, but you have two teams that are obviously in the mix for the division at 6-4 with Indy and Houston. You guys are at -4, where the market is -3.5.
Yeah, we took a bet from a player we really respect on, I think, Tuesday. He laid 3.5 with the Texans, so we're hanging a little high on this game. Usually the market has moved in this player's favor, and we've seen that the last couple of months where whatever this group has bet has kind of moved their way. So we're intentionally hanging a little high on Houston right now, and it's kind of pointless for me to read off the ticket count numbers because, of course, we're going to have a favorable ticket count number to the Colts because we've got the highest point spread on the market. So anybody that's looking at their apps is going to bet the Colts with us because we've got the best number here.
Especially with the apps being so much more convenient than driving around town. I remember back in the day, I would drive around town to the Hilton or wherever and get that extra half point and really kind of almost just pray it gets cited because I could kind of feel validated for spending all that.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at ticket count numbers and when you analyze ticket count numbers, you should consider that sort of thing where, like, of course we're going to have a one-sided ticket count to the Texans in this or the Colts in this game because we've got the highest number on the market. That those ticket count numbers are really only interesting when you're looking at when you're dealing just sort of a market number and everybody's betting with you anyways on the same side.
That's a great point. Thank you for elaborating on that. Let's turn the page to Cleveland for Sunday, and we got the Browns laying double digits. The Browns, no Myles Garrett, obviously. And the Dolphins were hot. Then they did not cover at home to the Bills. Now they hit the road, and you got 10.5 here.
Yeah, not a lot to report from behind the counter. I mean, you're going to see Cleveland in a lot of money line parlays, I think. But I don't think too many people are going to be looking to back Miami after last week. And there's not a big rush of people to lay 10.5 points with the Browns. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. And I don't blame them. Freddie Kitchens, I don't think much of him. It's a lot of points to give on Cleveland in this game.
I'll come back to it, but something to keep in mind is the Browns is an option for a survivor pool. Like, do you trust them? That's
if you've still survived. Oh, what is this, week 12? I give you credit if you've made it all the way to week 12 in your survivor pool. Who am I to give you advice?
Well, I've made it
do
this
what
far.
Do what you're doing.
But there's an asterisk. We all got eliminated 2 weeks ago, so we all advanced.
Oh, right, with the Saints and what was the other one, the Colts?
Yeah, Colts at home, yeah. The Fish or the Mammals.
By the way, that was a very good day for the books, if you can believe that.
I can. Okay, speaking of Buffalo, who just covered in Miami, they're at home lane 4 to Denver, which blew it in Minnesota. I have no opinion on the first couple games we mentioned. I kind of lean Buffalo here. I think you can't overreact to one game. It's still Brandon Allen. It's still Denver on the road. Mm-hmm. I think this Buffalo D can kind of shut down Sutton and stuff like that. And we saw how bad Denver can be in that second half. Now, the Vikings offense, obviously, much more prolific than the Bills. But you just saw them come out and look like a college game, right? One of those Alabama versus Arkansas games where it's like zipping it around. All right, 3 and out. We get the ball back. Play action, bomb. Like, it just kind of was kind of funny how Vikings just flipped the switch at halftime. So I kind of inclined to lay the 4 here with the Bills.
Yeah, that really cost us big. I can't stress that enough. We needed Denver to hang on there. It would have really saved our day. They fell apart in the second half. Now they go on the road. They're at Buffalo. It sounds ridiculous, but Josh Allen actually looked really good last week against Miami. He was moving the ball up and down the field. I think he ran for a touchdown, threw for, I want to say, 3 touchdowns. He looked by far the best he's ever looked. Can he duplicate that against the Denver Broncos? I say no. Take count's about 5-1 on Buffalo right now here at our book.
Makes sense. I mean, the Brandon Allen's going to have to look better than more than just one half in order to deliver. But he looked good. Obviously, it's nice to have a mobile guy when you have an offense structured for a mobile guy as opposed to Flacco, who's a statue. So
yeah, and we're seeing more and more of this. No kidding. But we're seeing more and more of this. Teams going to their backup QBs. We saw it with Jeff Driskel last week. Brandon Allen, you just mentioned. Some of these backup quarterbacks may be a little better than people realize they are. Now, having said that, usually what happens is teams get a few games worth of tape on these guys, figure them out, and then they come back to earth. We've seen that with Kyle Allen. We saw that with Gardner Minshew for sure. But some of these backup quarterbacks, I feel like, have been playing pretty well. Denver, to me, looks better with Brandon Allen in there than they did with Joe Flacco, who was just dreadful.
I don't have the stats in front of me, but the ATS of the backup quarterbacks this year has been quite staggering. And I've said it for the last couple of years. I think it's the advancement of the game at, like, the Elite 11s, right? You have such – and then the college game with the spread offense, and then you have that sort of traits also making it to the NFL. So these quarterbacks are much more adjusted to the NFL game. But I think it also starts with that coaching and just how the camps and everything is just so specialized at that level. They're just further along the process. And to your point, there's still going to be growing pains. But some of these guys, if you keep things simple, which that is why we see early success, the simple stuff is working because they're more advanced. And then the defense is advanced. And then it's like, okay, there's a reality check on some of these guys.
And so much of it is understanding the offense and knowing the scheme. And we see that all the time. These backup quarterbacks, if they know the offense, they can run the offense. For a few weeks, the team can get by just fine without them. I thought Jeff Driskel looked really good. And I watched a lot of that Dallas game because we needed Detroit huge on Sunday morning last week. I thought he looked fine.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens moving forward, though. Okay.
Oh, well, he's playing the Redskins this week, but we'll see what happens the next time he plays an actual NFL team.
Yeah, the Redskins are something, huh? Okay, let's talk about a team that's something. It's the winless Cincinnati Bengals. You have Mason Rudolph here laying 6.5 on the road. I cannot I cannot lay it.
You can't bring yourself to. It's actually 6.5, 20 here at the Westgate.
You think you got
not
a
lot to report? We might. You know, people are not looking to bet on the Bengals, if you can believe that. 7 is a lot of points for the Steelers to be laying on the road. I do like Pittsburgh defensively. I think they've got a lot of young talent on that side of the ball. No Marquise Pouncey this week, the starting center. Mason Rudolph got a lot of criticism for his performance on Thursday night, and it was deserved. But don't forget how many of the Steelers' playmakers were out of the lineup in that game. I think he was missing James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, got hurt during the game. Another one of the receivers, I want to say, was also out. He didn't really have anybody to throw the ball to. We'll see how he looks this week against the Bengals.
I like the under quite a bit in that game. And
we got a total 38.5 here at the Westgate.
Here's a stat I'm going to throw your way and all our listeners, and we're going to weave this into next week. It's going to be a big part of Daily Wager content moving up, but I'll drop it on you now. You ready for this one?
Absolutely.
Okay. Since 2012... divisional games after week 10. So you're thinking like it's pretty random, but it's more than 700 games here. So it's a large sample size, I think. The under in those divisional games is hitting at a better than 60% clip.
Wow. Yeah.
Makes sense if you want to apply like a narrative to it. Like the teams know each other. It's late in the season. Mm-hmm. More tape, if you will. I'd like the under to begin with because I think the Bengals' defense is okay and the offense is completely inept with that offensive line. And just similarly, what you talked about the Steelers and then no Pouncey, right? The offensive line is going to suffer a little bit. I think it's one of those 2010 games. 2013,
it scares me to go under these really low totals with these kind of quarterbacks because I always feel like I'm going to lose because of a defensive touchdown or a bad turnover. That there's just you don't have that much margin for error when you bet under 37.5, under 38.5. It wouldn't surprise me if Ryan Finley threw a ghastly pick six early in the game or something like that.
Well, sure. I mean, that's why it's called gambling. But when you take an under with Lamar Jackson and Drew Brees, then you always have these like bombs to worry about too. And obviously you have a higher number to begin with, but there's always going to be a sweat. But that's why typically I like to do first half unders when these quarterbacks stink, because I think the coaches are super conservative. And we saw that last week, mm-hmm. neither the Bears or Rams were trusting their quarterback to throw anything downfield. And then,
It's kind of funny that the Rams don't trust their quarterback to throw the ball downfield when they just gave him like $100 million guaranteed.
Fascinating.
I mean, couldn't they just get anybody to run that offense the way that they're asking Goff to run it right now? I mean, you would think, right? I mean, if all they're asking the guy to do is not make any like egregious errors, shouldn't they just pay somebody a minimum salary and
like
spend
Chase
the rest
Daniel?
Of that money around? Yeah, and just spend the rest of that money around the roster? I mean, I don't know. That would make sense to me.
Let's keep it moving. Beware, everyone. Do not take the Raiders. I was on them last week. I thought it was a good spot. And it was close. I mean, the defense came to play. Offense had some issues. Even almost covered the 10.5 when they were up four down goal to goal late in the game. But I don't trust the Raiders here laying 3 at the Jets.
Yeah, we like the Jets here. I'm talking about our team here at the Superbook. That was actually the play that I was sent in yesterday to give to Mr. Brent Musburger.
Ooh.
He laughed at me because it's my fault, obviously. I forgot, he calls the Raider games, obviously, so he can't use that game. Of course, it's my fault, but I was set up for failure there by our team. We did try to give him the Jets. He wouldn't accept that one, of course, but that is the play that we like, Jets plus 3. It's about a 7-1 ticket count on the Raiders here at the Superbook. So if you're in the Super Contest and you're not the play-by-play guy for the Raiders, we would recommend you use the Jets. But for Mr. Musburger, that's not an option.
Do you think this number gets to 3.5? I do not.
No, I don't think so. You know, we're at plus 3, minus 120 right now on New York. And if we went to 3.5, we'd write so much money on the Jets from the wise guys. The Raiders, it's a tricky spot for Oakland. Don't forget, they've got that big game next week. They play at Kansas City, and they got to go to the East Coast to play the Jets here. The Jets are better than their record.
Mm-hmm.
They got a pretty solid defense. I like Sam Darnold. I don't like Adam Gase, if I haven't made that clear enough. But I do think New York is a little bit better than their win-loss record indicates.
I've been impressed with the Raiders. I'm not betting the Jets, but I wouldn't take Oakland either. New Orleans back on track. I'm surprised I didn't get involved in that game. You guys were talking about how you needed Tampa Bay badly. New Orleans covers. Got a little hairy, I guess, at the end, but then old Jameis with the interception, so old reliable.
Well, you've always got that in your back pocket, DK. You've always got the Jameis Winston pick six in your back pocket. Yeah, we could have used the Bucs on Sunday, and we'll need Carolina here. You know, Carolina's a team. We just talked about it earlier on the show about they get game tape on these backup QBs, and they come back to earth. Kyle Allen is exhibit A of that. He doesn't look like a starting quarterback at all right now. No one's going to really look to be betting on Carolina in this spot. Tickets about 6-1 on New Orleans here. Every moneyline parlay has New Orleans in it. Most parlays in general just have New Orleans in it. So we'll need Carolina pretty big. Could be our biggest decision of the 10 a.m. local games. I would say either that one or the Jets.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how the Panthers look. Kyle Allen looked about as bad as he's ever looked. And then just to see how the public's going to react, which you just illustrated with the ticket counts, it's going to be very interesting to see if the Panthers have actually turned the corner for the worst, or that was just like an anomaly. I'm very just intrigued by that game because the Panthers have looked solid at times. Obviously, that Green Bay game comes to mind. Next game, okay, let's pump the brakes on the Falcons laying 4.5. Will we?
Yeah, you know, how do the Falcons ever start the year 1-7? I mean, a serious question. You watch them the last 2 weeks, they look like a playoff team. What the hell happened in that first half of the season?
Well, a couple breaks did not go their way.
Well, it's not like they were beset by injuries they were the way they were in 2018.
Well, I was hearing someone on radio, they say, I guess the Falcons do this every year. Like, their defense is always like pretty solid in the second half.
They look pretty solid the last 2 weeks. I kind of agree with you, though. Them laying 4.5 seems like a lot. We were at 5 on this game. We saw some money come in on the Bucks plus 5, knocked us down to 4.5. This is the kind of spot where some of the wise guys have gotten involved on Tampa Bay this season, meaning when they're a road underdog. We've seen that a few times this year, and it looks like that number might drift down a little bit between now and kickoff on Sunday morning.
I mean, you're probably going to get this right away, but I'll just let our listeners think. How many wins do we all think Tampa Bay has this year? You know?
I'm going to get it right away. Are you talking to me, or are you talking to the general listener out there?
I think you'll get it right away.
No, I don't think I can. I mean, I'll guess, I don't know, 3 wins maybe?
Yeah, it is 3. I would have guessed 3. Like 5, just given that they've been in so many games and looked respectable, and I know they won at the Rams, and they beat the Cardinals, but they've been close, but not, you know, close but no cigar sort of thing.
Yeah, they really have had some tough losses. But, you know, we've seen this all year where the players were getting involved on the Bucs as a road dog. If you remember that game early in the year, they were at New Orleans. Now, Bridgewater was in at quarterback for the Saints in that game. But that number came all the way down to, like, plus 3, minus 120 on the Bucs because the sharp guys would not stop betting on Tampa Bay in that spot. So I do expect them to back Tampa Bay here on the road at Atlanta. I don't know that I can do that, though. I mean, I feel like I would just be watching the whole game waiting for Winston to make some horrendous mistake and cost me my position on a game.
Yeah, proceed with caution. They're 2-8 ATS this year, which is the worst mark in the NFL. So they have failed to cover 6 straight. So something I do not want to get in front of. Now, they were favored in that like Arizona game, which I was on the cards in that game, but just something to
file. A lot of games. I feel like Doug, you're saying a lot of games you don't want to get involved this week, and I don't like hearing that from you.
Well, given that I've been such a standout in the bonanza, I'm shocked.
I want the gunslinger Doug back. Go find him for me.
We'll
I want to do the show with
we'll
him.
We'll get there back. Maybe it's got a week off, sit in the penalty box for a little bit. Maybe I'll just take all the unders in divisional games this week. That's what maybe I'll do.
That's not a bad strategy.
Okay, Detroit at Washington. You got the Lions laying 3.5. So you have a week. This is what my observation was on air Tuesday. Sort of when you look at the initial card, my observation was Mason Rudolph's laying 6.5. And Jeff Driscoll laying 3.5 on the road. I mean, that's pretty surprising, right?
Well, look at who they're playing. I mean, the Redskins are not even an NFL franchise. Did you see that clip of poor Dwayne Haskins? None of this is his fault, by the way, but he's trying to talk to his offensive linemen on the sidelines, and they're just completely ignoring him.
That's a pretty bad look.
It's pretty. The whole organization is a pretty bad look. It's about a 12-1 ticket count here on the Lions. Nobody is looking to bet on Washington, and I can't blame anybody. Why would you want to go to a Redskins game, bet on the Redskins, watch the Redskins, talk about the Redskins? There's not one positive thing you could say about the organization right now.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
I said I think I said on another show I did that I realized how ridiculous this sounds. I think I would do a better job running the team than the current administration, and I don't know anything about running a football team whatsoever. I've got zero experience. I know absolutely nothing. I think I would do a better job, and I sincerely believe that.
So you're saying like the PR stuff and everything like
that? No, I'm talking about like me being the general manager of the team. I could just hire a few scouts that had good reputations around the league and just sit around and watch TV all day, and I think I would be a better GM than what they have right now.
So in the last couple of weeks, we've established you'd be a better GM for the Redskins. I can throw a football nearly 50 yards. And you have a friend who can outrun all the offensive and defensive linemen in the NFL.
Very silly. I think his comment was the silliest of those three things, by the way. I think his was the most – well, think about it. Let's say I became the GM of the Redskins, and I asked around, who are some respected scouts? I overpaid them. I brought them in. I said, you guys do everything. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to watch Netflix all day. You telling me that wouldn't be better than Bruce Allen and the job he's doing? I absolutely think it would be.
At no point have I said you're wrong. in this discussion. Yeah, no. I'm just embracing the humor of it all, but at no point did I say you're wrong.
No, you did not. You did not. I got a little defensive there. I apologize. Look, everybody's on the Lions. No one is going to be looking to bet Washington, and they probably won't be looking to bet Washington the rest of the year.
My vote for the lowest handle of the game of the weekend, I could be wrong, but that's just my small prediction, Tennessee hosting Jacksonville.
Here's why you're wrong, and normally you'd be right. The reason you're wrong is because it's one of only two games in the afternoon.
Ah, darn it.
So it'll be a game where it's not going to be a high-handle game, but because the whole league is getting out of the way of this Dallas-New England game, this monster 125 kickoff here in Las Vegas, there will be some money on Jacksonville-Tennessee. Only two games in that window. Right now we've got Tennessee -3, -120. There's a little bit of money in there on the Titans. Not a lot to report. You're not wrong. It's going to be a low handle game, but it won't be the lowest handle game just because of the time slot.
All right, more with John Murray in a moment. But first, let me ask you this. Is anything better than watching football? Of course there is. Watching football with a DraftKings lineup on the line, especially this week. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000 in prizes when you sign up with my code Doug. That's D-O-U-G. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. We also have a prop coming up later involving Jameis Winston. We'll check in with Mike Clay. I really like that prop. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a completely free shot at over $100,000 in prizes. Download the DraftKings app now. New users enter code Doug at signup to get a completely free shot at over $100,000 in prizes. Again, that's code Doug to get a totally free shot at $100,000 in prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So now here's the big game in the afternoon, that second tight slot.
This is the big one, man.
I don't think you go to seven here, can you?
Right when we opened this game, I'm talking Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, we had a guy come in. He laid New England -6.5 points for $53,500, and we just stayed right at 6.5. I mean, we don't really see much reason to go to 7 on this game, at least not right now. We're pretty overloaded with New England money. His bet isn't the only one we've taken on that side, but that's a lot of points for the Patriots to lay, and I know I get roasted every time I say this in the media, but it's true. New England's offense right now is not any good. Brady looks old. It's not all Brady. That offensive line's doing him no favors at all. But New England just doesn't look very good on offense.
I agree. And they had no business winning and covering last week. Excuse me. They had no business covering last week. But that's what the Patriots do. They're now 41-18 ATS off a loss with Brady and Belichick. So last week I mentioned the Belichick record. But with Brady, it's insane. And that's just what they do, and I think the narrative applies. I mean, look, you've played sports. I played sports. I had a crazy coach in high school, and I say that with love. He was the Olympic coach. And yeah, like the practices are more intense, everyone's attention. I could just only imagine when it is at that level with Belichick. And I've talked to guys around here. Like, I get it. Like, I've talked to Brewski. He's a cubicle a couple over from me. I pepper these guys with questions, and I glean a lot, and it's a different tone. So that stat is not just an arbitrary stat. It makes sense. Now, to your point, this New England team is, just not even close to what it was over the years, the juggernaut years. And it's baffling.
Well, the offense is not. The defense is really good.
Yeah,
the offense is they played a really easy. You're right. They've played an extremely easy schedule. That's very true. But the New England's offense is just, Brady can't throw the ball more than 10 yards.
He has the worst completion percentage under pressure this year.
All I'm doing is reporting on what I'm seeing. I see a quarterback that looks old, that can't throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field. Do I think the Patriots can win the Super Bowl? Yes, of course I do. They have Bill Belichick as their coach. Of course I think they can. But the offensive line is no good. It's not all Brady. He doesn't have Gronk anymore. His receivers aren't doing much to help him out. I'll give him that too. And he's just getting no time from his line, and he looks old. And the Patriots' offense looks very, very average at best.
That's all fair. I don't think people would argue with that.
Oh, people will argue with that. Every time I say that, somebody goes nuts because they're, you know, the the Patriots fans aren't the most realistic when it comes to assessing their team. But do I think they can win the Super Bowl?
I think all fans are like that.
Well, yeah, considering that I just said that I could do a better job running the Redskins than their front office, I think that's a fair point.
I mean, let's face it. I think all fans are dumb.
For sure.
I shouldn't say all, but the majority. Here's the thing.
I'll say all.
Fan is short for fanatical.
Yeah.
And anytime you are using kind of like the component of emotion, you're usually not using the opposite. So if you're using your heart, you're not using your head. And if you're using your head, you're not using your heart, right? So it's just that simple. And you look at things through a certain lens. Now, of course, there's a large contingent of fans who are pretty fair in terms of assessing their own team. I'd like to say I can do that over the years about my teams, but some of that has just come with age and being desensitized in the business I work in. But there are crazy fans. I mean, we did something on Daily Wager Sunday morning about that Eagles game and the Bills, and a Bills beat writer for one of the newspapers tweeted something out, and just Bills Mafia just went berserk. And I replied to one guy, and he was like, "You know what? You're right. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. I just get a little crazy with the Bills, and it's funny how that just kind of happens."
Well, you're trying to assess these teams, and sometimes if you're critical of certain components of the team, people lose their minds. But I'm just saying what I see out there. New England's played a really easy schedule. Their offense hasn't been impressive at all. Now, having said all that, the game on Sunday, could Bill Belichick just dramatically outcoach Jason Garrett and the Patriots win by 4 touchdowns? Of course. I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if that happened.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Because Dallas has the goods to, like, win the game. I mean,
they definitely do.
Players, both offense and defense, but
Dallas has the personnel to win this game. There's
it's
no question.
Just the Patriots.
But look at those two coaches, and who do you want to be behind on Sunday?
Right. That is crazy. Okay. Sunday night, this line movement is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, we saw a really respected player. He laid 49ers -3, -110. That bet was placed, I want to say, on Tuesday here. So we went to 3.5. Right now we've got 49ers -3.5, even money. I think what you're going to see in this game is a lot of money on Green Bay money line. We've got the Packers on the money line right now, +155. It's going to be a lot of money on both sides of this game, but early on the sharp action has been on the 49ers.
That surprises me, given how the Niners have not looked good the last two times out, and the public loves Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, no, the public will most likely be on Green Bay. Green Bay is one of the most public teams in the league, and this is a game, if you're looking to bet this game, really keep an eye on the injury report. I mean, there's a lot of key guys for the 49ers right now that are either listed as questionable or doubtful. Dee Ford is doubtful. George Kittle, Emmanuel Sanders, Debo Samuel, all questionable. Robbie Gould is questionable. Matt Breda is questionable. A lot of key guys for the 49ers on that injury report, so keep an eye on that. Green Bay is coming in off of their bye week, but I'm just telling you, we saw sharp money on San Francisco, so do what you want with that.
Right. Do you think it gets higher than 3.5?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think there's going to be too much support in the market for Green Bay for that to happen.
Yeah, so you just have to be a pros versus Joes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pros versus Joes, maybe not to the extent of some of the other Sunday night games we've seen this year, but I do think it's shaping up like that. And this is a good example of what I said about the Thursday game, where I could give you guys our ticket count number, but it's misleading because we're dealing a high number intentionally on Green Bay. So, of course, we're going to have a slanted ticket count to Green Bay.
Gotcha. Okay, let's keep going in the order of rotation order, but going backwards in chronological order, and Seattle at Philly. This is a really intriguing game. Seattle's undefeated against the spread on the road this year. They've certainly cost me some money. 9-2 in their last 11 road games, ATS, including the playoffs. So it's been an impressive run with Wilson and company. He's only catching 1.5 here.
Seattle cost us some money last Monday night, I'll tell you that much. They win the game outright against the 49ers. That was not good for the books. Philadelphia -1.5 here. Everybody's actually betting Seattle, I should tell you that. I mean, it's a pretty one-sided ticket count. This game was flexed out of Sunday night to a morning kickoff. You would think that would benefit the Eagles, right, with Seattle going from west to east for a 1 Eastern kickoff. We're going to need Philadelphia for sure in this game.
Yeah, I don't think that applies much anymore. I mean, look, we've seen the Cardinals cover in that time slot many times. I think they're 4-0 in that time slot. I'm not 100% on that.
Cardinals are a very good ATS team because they kick so many short field goals. You know, it keeps you, it keeps them within the number, but it, you know, takes away their chance of winning the game.
That's all we care about covering. Monday night, so we touched on it.
Yeah.
I like the Ravens here, but I don't like love them.
Well, there's just it's hard to say there's value on Baltimore when you talk about betting them at -3, -120. We just talked about the Niners keeping an eye on their injury report. Do the same thing with the Rams. They had a lot of guys out on Sunday in that game against Chicago. Sounds like they're getting a lot of those guys back for this game on Monday night. The books are going to need the Rams huge. It's just a question of how much, and that all depends on how the favorites do on Sunday.
All right, my man, you ready?
I don't know that I'm ever ready to pick NFL games, but I'm gonna give you the old college try here.
Okay, we'll accept that.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
You know, I thought I was looking good with my team total at 27.5 when it closed like 28.5 over heavily juiced. But no, no dice. The field in Mexico City still stunk, and I got to just not believe all the reports. That was fake news.
You got to be careful with fake news. I got to be very careful with that.
So that was disappointing. I mean, I don't know if the field cost me those points, but it I like to say it did. It's frustrating. So that was my big play in the Bonanza. Did not get there. I had a winner on the under, like we discussed, and I'm just going through it right now. So, yeah, 1-3 for yours truly, and you had 1-1, but you lost more on the Bears +6.5.
You know, I really liked the Bears. I really did. I thought the Bears were, and I don't say that about too many NFL games over the course of the year, but I really thought Chicago was a good bet there. Very disappointing. And then I actually thought there was good value on the Chargers +6 on Monday just because I think that number was an artificial number because all the books had so much exposure to the Chiefs. And I didn't get that one either. So a long, long weekend in the NFL. A long, long weekend.
Sure sounds that way. You've been just moaning and complaining for a while. I mean, do you realize, like, you work at a sports book and you're going to get it all back?
Oh, no. I'm talking about my personal finances here.
Oh, okay.
The sports book will be fine, man. The sports book, you know, all jokes aside, we've had a tremendous year in the NFL. We really haven't had a very good college year. We really haven't had that many banner Saturdays in college football this season, to be honest with you. And we actually lost money on Saturday this past Saturday. But the NFL season has been absolutely tremendous for the books. No complaints here at all.
I've actually crushed college this year, even better than, like, the column. And it's been those kind of, like, humans called me last week on the show a betting bully that I just, like, fade the bad teams, and I just like to lay the lumber against Michigan State and Northwestern. And I'm like, yeah, because the sharps, like, see value in these bad teams. And, you know, sometimes you got to seize the opportunity. Although I was on, like, UMass team total over last week that lost. I've had some ugly dogs. I took UMass in the points against Liberty. I mean, I've definitely been stupid a few times. Okay, we talk NFL. Let's. You obviously are on the tee box first, and why don't you step up to the Blues?
Yeah, I'm going to do two plays, and I'm going to take advantage of our rules now that we can use any Nevada book because I do see one book in Nevada that's on my screen at least.
Good.
Dealing the Jets +3 -110. I'll do that one for $550 to win $500, please, sir.
All right, so that is the good. I'm curious to see what you did give to Musburger. Hopefully that'll be the next play.
Well, we tried to give him the Jets. So I can just recap the entire conversation.
Please.
I mentioned the Jets. He laughed in my face and basically called me an idiot, which I deserved. And then I told him, we really like Houston, but I didn't want to give him the Thursday night game because if you're in the Super Contest, if you'd use the Thursday game, you've got to submit your whole card right there. But he said he didn't care about that because he was flying to New York today anyway, or Thursday anyway. So as far as my understanding is, he used Houston as our recommendation because he didn't mind using the Thursday game because he was going to put his picks in anyway.
Fair enough. I think that's good dialogue and way to explain it and share it with our viewers. That's a solid work out of you.
Thank you.
And I can just see Musburger talking you down and laughing at your face.
Well, Brent, I saw him on Tuesday. I was lucky enough. I did a show in studio at the South Point with VSIN. I saw Brent. I was coming in to do my show. He was walking out after his show, My Guys in the Desert, and he said, "Hey, John, by the way, I went 4-1 this week in your contest." Obviously, the pick that I gave him was the Bears. He had a little smirk on his face as he said that.
Yeah,
so.
Man.
Always good to be ribbed by Mr. Musburger. I can live with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't. Come on. The fact that the guy even knows who I am is an honor. I mean, Brent is maybe the biggest legend in the history of sports broadcasting. I mean, is that – I don't know that that's that crazy to say.
It's not. I don't know if it's yeah. – I don't know if there – you know, there's no one bigger, I guess, the more I think about it.
Yeah. I don't know who has had a better, like, more distinguished career in that medium than him. I really don't.
Okay, my first play, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati under 39. There are 39s elsewhere in the market, even though you guys are 38.5, so I'll take the 39. And we touched on it earlier, just why I like it. I think probably should go first half, but I'll take the game under 39.
Well, I got to do this one. I'll do three plays, I guess, because I got to give you Houston, because that's the play we give Brent. We're the only four in the world, so it's easy for me to call it Houston -3.5 for 500, because everybody has 3.5.
Correct. So I'm going to do a teaser.
Oh, boy.
Why that reaction?
Okay. No, I was reacting to something else in my office. I just saw something.
I should really try to cheat the system and tease college games to one NFL game and say, like, hey, I'm doing NFL. Okay, so I'm going to do the Steelers.
Okay.
Problem is I don't really have a strong second team.
Then I wouldn't recommend doing a teaser.
Can the Bears lose to the Giants?
Yes.
I know.
The Bears could lose to anybody.
I know.
They really could. The Bears are capable of losing to any opponent. Maybe not the Redskins, but I think they could lose to anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't. There's just no other good team. I'm not taking New England because I think they can lose.
I think that New England could lose that game. I don't think they will, but...
Agreed.
Dallas, the personnel on that Cowboys team, we make all of our jokes about Jason Garrett, and I think we're correct in doing so, but whoever is drafting for the Cowboys is doing a terrific job, because it seems like every year they're unearthing these really talented players.
All right, I got a play for you. I got to play my second leg of the tease. I'll take the Seahawks +7.5.
Okay. I mean, I always like teasing up through 3 and through 7. Usually I like to do it in a game with a lower total than that one, but... That's a good teaser spot, going up to Seattle +7.5.
Yeah, I'm not buying this Eagles team as being good anymore. I don't know why we started thinking that. I still think they're not very good.
I in the preseason, I thought they were going to win the division.
I thought they might be
the best team in the conference, and it just hasn't materialized for them at all. And the more we get away from that Eagles Super Bowl season, the more you've got to think how valuable Frank Reich was to that organization. Because no matter who's been playing quarterback, that offense hasn't looked the same since Reich left to be the Colts head coach.
It's a great point. And Wentz has had his moments. He's had some drops. They've had injuries, too. They're getting healthier, so that makes me a little apprehensive. But I like Seattle off the bye. They've obviously been great as a dog, and I'll take the 7.5 here in Philly.
Let me do one more. I'm going to do the Sunday night game. I'm going to do San Francisco. It looks like the best I can do is -3, -15. Okay. I don't really like that -115, but I'd rather do that than -3.5, of course. So I'll do that to win 500. 49ers -3, -115. My friends at Caesars are dealing that number right now.
Okay. So maybe I'll get involved with the gunslinger. We'll get involved here. But for now, I'm good with my two nickel plays, and you have three nickel plays. All right, my man.
And we need you to come back, Doug. We need you to be a gunslinger next weekend. We got Thanksgiving next week.
Ooh, that means also the Prince of Props.
The Prince of Props. I'm going out with him on Wednesday. We already made plans to have a few cocktails on Wednesday night in Virginia, and I'm sure we'll have a play. And we need you to come back and be a gunslinger, a Thanksgiving miracle for the listeners out there.
I'll tell you what's a Thanksgiving miracle is I'm off Thursday and Friday. We have a show Thursday morning, and then I'm done until Sunday morning. So a little family time in Boston.
That's great. Yeah, we're going to be going out Wednesday night in Virginia. And then whatever we remember from that, we'll be recapping on Thursday. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. One of my favorite holidays. See my buddies, see my family, and just sit around and eat and make fun of the NFL. So it's pretty much all my favorite activities.
Nice. So we'll do that next week. We'll have an adjusted podcast schedule. We'll be very active on Twitter for those. But just expect podcasts earlier in the week than usual. All right, Mr. Executive Director, be well.
Thank you, sir.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Nerd alert!
That means Mike Clay is here in studio, and I've asked him to sit farther away in the studio because the man is on fire. I don't want to get burned.
We can't miss, man.
He's on a heater. Yeah, we got a heater. So you did miss Monday night.
Damian got hurt, yeah.
Right, he got hurt, and the juice, I mean, you were way ahead of the juice. You were plus money, close, decent-sized. Minus money, but four straight wins before that, right?
We missed. What did we have?
I think it went 4-1.
Yeah, on a Sunday slate, we haven't missed on
you
Sunday.
You pushed Vance McDonald. I apologize.
That's right. We pushed
you
McDonald.
Pushed Vance McDonald, and you hit the others. Yeah. And then the previous week, I think you swept the board.
We were perfect the previous week, and I think we were. We're like 11-1 on our last Sunday.
The man is on a heater. Okay,
we're rolling.
And you touched on it a couple weeks ago. Now you have enough data. To go on, and you're not just kind of using last year's stuff and projecting. So you're like a solid, the numbers are more crisp, you will.
No question about it. Yeah, we're learning more and more about the offenses, and certainly we're adjusting on the fly to new, you know, changes in how players are being used and how they're playing. Obviously, like the Falcons defense would be a good example. But yeah, no question. Once we get to that point where there's a half season plus a data, it helps out.
All right, your only play tonight is something that I just would not want to participate in because it'd be a sweat from the start to finish. But DeAndre Hopkins under 85.5 yards.
Yeah, look, I don't like betting against superstars like DeAndre Hopkins, but there's some compelling evidence here. Line 85.5 receiving yards, minus $1.10. But here we go. Hopkins has seen 11 or more targets in five straight games, but has finished with fewer than 86 yards in three of those five games and 6 of 10 this season. So the volume in terms of targets have been good. The thing is, he's being used differently than he has in his entire career. Think like Larry Fitzgerald when he got moved to the slot and started just seeing underneath work. That's what happened. That's what has happened with Hopkins this season. His average depth of target is at a career low 9.9. His previous career high was 11.7. That's a very significant change. That's why he's averaging 9.9 yards per catch this season. His previous career low was a little over 12 yards. He did have 106 yards in that first meeting with the Colts, but look, this is not a particularly good matchup for wide receivers. Offenses have tardy wide receivers at the sixth lowest rate, only 53% of the time when facing the Colts this season. That has led to the 10th fewest targets and the 11th fewest wide receiver yards against that defense this season. And one more note, this one I think is important. Will Fuller is expected to play in this game.
That's big.
If you look at Hopkins' usage this season, he's averaging 9.3 targets per game, a 28% share in six full games with Fuller. Without him, 12 targets per game, a 37% share. I think the baseline is 73 yards here. So for me at 85.5, I like the under. And look, I'm worried about it.
Don't watch it. Just play it and go do something else.
Yeah, he could see a lot of targets, but again, a lot are going to be in the short area. And that's why he's kind of underperformed this season. And whatever season, you know, or fantasy, whatever it is you're looking at with Hopkins, he's probably underwhelmed a little bit, and it's been the role.
Okay, let's go to Sunday afternoons, the afternoon games, I should say. This one I automatically like. It's Jameis Winston, yes, to throw a pick, minus $1.20.
I couldn't believe it was minus $1.20. As soon as I saw that number, I jumped all over it. I mean, if you can get this at probably under $1.50, you're probably going to want to jump on this one. 18 interceptions this season for Winston. He's really good at that. I mean, interceptions is a great skill for him, and it's honestly surprising if he gets through a game without one at this point. He leads the league in that category. Of course, 18 picks in 10 games. He's thrown at least one in 7 of 10 games. You know, 76 picks in 66 career games. He has at least one in 40 of those games, which is a 60.6% hit rate. And the real key here for him is that he gets a lot of opportunity to throw interceptions. He leads all quarterbacks in dropbacks. He's second in pass attempts. His 10.3 average depth of throw is second highest. He's never finished a season lower than fifth in that category. And his off-target rate, 21%, big surprise, is highest in the NFL. The Falcons actually don't have a lot of interceptions this season, but again, they've kind of, I mentioned them before, just coincidentally, they have taken a big step forward since their bye. They actually picked off Kyle Allen 4 times last week, so trending the right direction. They have a healthy Desmond Trufant. I think it's a good spot here. If you can get $1.10 or $1.20, excuse me, you should jump all over yes.
And you're always worried that he could get pulled or something. Well, if he's going to get pulled, it's because he's going to be throwing an interception.
No question about it. Absolutely.
That's a good sign.
You just throw one pass for a pick and we're done here.
Go. Ryan Fitzpatrick, over 225.5. The Dolphins are playing at the Browns. Miles Garrett. Less pressure, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I have a huge gap here. My line came in at 262, so I was digging into this deep. Like, why is that such a large gap? But look, he's averaging 250.4 passing yards during his past five games since he took back over as a full-time starter. He's gone over this mark in three of those games. He trails only Jameis, who we just talked about, in pass attempts, and is seventh in passing yards over those past 5 weeks. Look, the Dolphins, their scheme is pass-heavy, so they're behind a lot. We know that, but their scheme is also to call a lot of passes. They've trailed on 70% of their offensive snaps. It's third highest, and that's led them to calling pass 69.6% of the time. That's notable because it is highest in the NFL. They want to throw. They're forced to throw. It adds up. And then you look at the Browns. They're actually allowing the seventh fewest passing yards this season, but they're still, that their average per game is 237.9. That's actually 13 yards above the line that's set here. So they're good, and it's still above this mark. They're allowing 7.2 yards per attempt. That's right around league average. Fitzpatrick is averaging, his average depth of throw is 8.8. That's 12th highest in the league. He pushes it downfield. His good connection with Devontae Parker. Plenty of reasons to think that, that he's going to go over in this mark. I don't know about you, but I think the Browns should win this game. They should be ahead. And as usual, Fitz will just have to throw
right,
the football.
Right, double-digit dogs throwing a lot.
Yeah.
I guess there's always a chance he gets replaced, but
I think it's a long shot.
He's been pretty solid in that role.
Yeah.
Okay, and one more. Sunday night, Tevin Coleman to score a touchdown.
Yeah, another touchdown bet. We've been hit or miss with these for sure, but again, they're always coming in at a pretty good plus money, plus $1.20 here. For Tevin Coleman, he's found the end zone in six of his eight games this season, or six times in eight games, I should say. Pretty decent workload, 12.4 carries and 3.0 targets per game in his eight outings this season. The 49ers offense just sets him up for success. They are the run heaviest in the league at 50% run. They're third in offensive snaps, a lot of plays at 69 per game. They're fifth in touchdowns at over three per game. And he's their go-to weapon near the goal line. This one kind of surprised me because keep in mind he has missed a few games this season. He has an OTD, that's an opportunity adjusted touchdown total based just on your usage, of 5.4. George Kittle is next closest on the team at 3.1. He's almost double the next closest player in terms of opportunity to score a touchdown. In fact, his 5.3 OTD since returning from injury in week five is fifth highest in the entire NFL. And then the matchup. They play the Packers. They've allowed 12 touchdowns this season, a running backs that is third most, also 21 carries inside the five. That is the most against running backs this season. So I think there's a very good chance that Coleman finds the end zone at plus $1.20. I'm in on that one.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on all the injury reports, too, and see who's playing.
Yeah, it looks like Matt Breida probably not going to play. George Kittle.
Gotcha.
Matt, probably 40% chance he plays, maybe. So nonetheless, even if everybody plays, I think he has a great shot to score here.
Okay, good stuff. As always, Mike, we appreciate the time. I know you're really busy. And let's just stay hot, man.
Let's go. Let's take it all the way to the end of the season.
Stop. Hammer time.
Yeah, that is the case with Mike Clay these days in Fuego. So he's on a heater. Let's hope it continues. You like these props, Travis?
I like when he wins.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I just need to follow him.
Yeah, let's do that. I don't think I'm going to do the DeAndre Hopkins, although he had a great explanation tonight under 85.5. You know what? I probably will, but it's with trepidation. Let's put it that. A little nibble, if you will.
Yeah, taking the under on Hopkins is always, you can understand the reasoning behind
he had great reasoning.
He's DeAndre Hopkins, so at any point, there's that one play that there goes the bet.
And sometimes there's just, he's so open, you get pass interference, which should have happened on that opening drive on Sunday with the Ravens. Obviously, the refs blew the call, even in the review. But, that is... if you're not going to watch, go play it, because that's something you don't want to have to put your stomach through. All right, my man, that does it for us. Again, adjusted schedule next week. We'll tweet about it and just kind of keep an eye out, and we'll try to get your podcast downloaded before your commutes for the Thanksgiving weekend. And be well this weekend.